Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Alini. I'm a master's student at University of Florida, and I'll be talking to you today about part of my thesis project in which we evaluated compact growth habit tomato breeding lines. Florida is responsible for 37% of the U.S. fresh market tomato production, with about 34,000 acres harvested in 2013. In Florida, fruit is picked at the mature green stage. And Florida is a major producer in the winter months, is where most states are not able to produce tomatoes due to the low temperatures. Florida growers use a very characteristic production system with raised beds and determinate hybrid plants. These plants are staked and tied in Florida, and if they were not staked and tied after achieving a certain height, they would typically fall over, which is not desirable because farm machinery could run these plants over, the leaves would be more exposed to soil pathogens, and the fruit would be subject to rot from soil pathogens and also subject to stem damage. Therefore, in Florida, tomatoes are staked and tied as common practices. In Florida, tomatoes are harvested three or more times manually. This production system has a cost of about $14,000 per acre, and staking, tying, pruning, and manually harvesting these tomatoes can account for as much as 55% of this production cost. Mexico is a major competitor for Florida tomatoes, especially in the winter months. And so the Florida tomato industry is always looking for alternatives to lower its production costs or to increase its yields to remain competitive. One of the possible alternatives to increase yields and or decrease its production costs could be the use of compact growth habit tomato varieties, which I'll call CGH from now on. CGH tomatoes are also determinate hybrids. They have upright or prostrate growth due to ST1 identified genes, and they have shortened internodes and increased side branching due to the presence of the Bractic gene. Because of this compact plant architecture, CGH tomatoes do not require staking, tying, or pruning. If they have the jointless gene, they could also be mechanically harvested, and they have a concentrated fruit set that is generally early maturity, which are characteristics desirable when you intend to do mechanical harvest. Here in the picture, we can see in the four middle rows of CGH tomatoes compared with the staked upright on the side rows. The use of CGH tomatoes may require that some adaptations are made to the currently used production system, such as the plant population. So a double row system could be an option to increase your plant population. It has been done for CGH tomatoes and for staked upright tomatoes, increasing early and total marketable yields. Bed configuration, the growers need to ensure that there is no water accumulation on the bed surface, because CGH tomatoes, as I said, they have a bushy plant architecture, and you do not want that your leaves are touching water remaining on top of the bed. So ensuring that there is no water accumulation is a requirement. Harvest could be performed mechanically if these tomatoes have the jointless gene, as I mentioned before, once over, or it could be performed manually if the growers do not have the equipment to mechanically harvest, and could be done once or twice. The objectives of the study were to evaluate 60 CGH tomato breeding lines from the University of Florida tomato breeding program on yield and post-harvest quality. Our experiment was conducted in the spring of 2013, a commercial farm in Immokalee, Southwest Florida, in a randomized complete block design with four replications. The CGH breeding lines, as I said, were from the UF tomato breeding program. All of them produce round fruit, and all of them have the jointless gene, which potentially enables mechanical harvest. The plant spacing used in this study was 24 inches for a found plant population of 3,630 plants per acre. We performed two manual harvests at the mature green stage. The fruit were then graded into extra large, large, and medium tomatoes, which are the yield sizes of the USDA grades and standards for tomatoes. The unmarketable fruit was weighed separately into categories according to the presence of defects such as some scout of shape and others such as scratching and gray wall. Post-harvest evaluation was composed of subsampling 20 fruit per plot at the first harvest. We took this fruit to the commercial packing house where they undergo ethylene treatment until they achieve stage two or breaker, which is this stage, the second here in the picture. Then we took these tomatoes from the packing house, took them to our lab on, and held them at room temperature until stage 5 to 6, which is table ripe stage, the two last stages here in the picture. Then we used 4 fruit of the 20 fruits sampled for analysis of fruit firmness and skin color. Fruit firmness using this IREC tester and skin color rating according to the USDA color chart for tomatoes. We used 1/4 of each of the 4 fruit and blended centrifuge and filtrate to analyze soluble solids, solids content in bricks and pH. All the data was analyzed using analysis of variance, using the SAS program with the PROC-GLM procedure, and mean separation was performed using Duncan's multiple range test. Some of the results that we obtained for the first harvest, the main category for the growers is usually extra large fruit where they can get premium prices. So for extra large fruit in this first year of study, breeding line 8916 had the highest yields. For large and medium fruit, breeding line 8915 had the highest yields. And for total, which is the sum of extra large, large, and medium fruit, we obtained the highest yields with breeding lines 8915 and 16. For the second harvest, extra large fruit and large fruit were highest with 8916A. For medium fruit, 8914 and 15 had the highest yields. And for Tota fruit at the second harvest, breeding line 8914, 15, and 16A. Unmarketable fruit wasn't different in the first harvest among breeding lines, but in the second harvest, there were differences, and breeding line 8915 and 16A that had the highest amount of unmarketable fruit. For the total season harvest, which is the sum of the first and second harvest, breeding line 8916 had the highest yields. For large fruit, 8915 performed the best. Medium fruit, 8914 and 15. And for total, 8915, although it wasn't different from 8916. For unmarketable fruit, 8915 again had one of the highest unmarketable yields, and 8916A. For unmarketable fruit, the most common defects that we observed in the study were some scout, odd shape, and others. Here I have the graph for the total season harvest. One observation that we had is that some scout is increased in the second harvest. These tomatoes, as I said, they're bushy tomatoes, and once you perform the first harvest and you move the leaves and branches, you increase the exposure of the remaining fruit to direct sunlight and heat, which increased the amount of sun count that we observed in the second harvest compared with the first harvest. For the post-harvest evaluation, there were no differences among the varieties for deformation, which is firmness, color, and total soluble solids. There were differences among the breeding lines for pH, which was higher for 8914, 16, and 16A, although all these pHs would be within the range that is reported for the FDA for a tomato fruit. So post-harvest evaluation showed that these tomatoes would develop acceptable characteristics for the Florida mature green tomato industry. In relation to yields, for the first harvest, we obtained 400 to 1,000 boxes per acre. We had another trial in the same farm with a staked upright variety that produced 900 boxes per acre, which are considering our grower standard. And Zurich Hampton has reported yields of 700 to 1,500 boxes per acre for the spring season. Therefore, our best yielding breeding lines would produce similar to a grower standard, although not as close to the maximum observed for the spring season in Florida. First harvest accounted for 38 to 64% of the total fruit harvested, and it has been reported for Florida tomatoes to yield 50 to 60% in the first harvest. Therefore, we would be within the range that we expect to harvest in the first harvest. Although, because these tomatoes have a concentrated fruit set, which is interesting for mechanical harvests, we were expecting to get a little more fruit in the first harvest, but that did not happen in this first year. At the total season marketable harvest, we had 100 to 1,800 boxes per acre total. Our grower standard produced over 3,000 boxes per acre in three harvests. So when we compare two harvests with three harvests, we would obtain a little bit lower yields. The Florida average yield reported by the USDA is approximately 1,000 boxes per acre. Therefore, our best producing breeding lines are within the Florida and actually higher than the Florida average. And CGH tomatoes that have been tested in North Carolina in the past obtained 13,000 boxes per acre in three harvests. So for CGH tomatoes, our best producing breeding lines would be suitable and are definitely an alternative. With that, I would like to conclude that CGH tomatoes may be a viable alternative for the Florida mature green fresh market based on the yields and post-harvest quality that we obtained in this study. Breeding line 89, 15, and 16 have the potential to advance in the tomato breeding program given the amount of extra large and total fruit yield that we obtained. CGH tomatoes may require lower fertilizer inputs than staked upright varieties, which could further decrease production costs and may increase the yields. And an analysis of a second year of study is being conducted to confirm the results that we obtained in the present study. I would like to thank the Florida Tomato Committee and Pacific Tomato Growers for their financial support to the project. My thesis committee and other professors at UF that helped me with the project, and my lab colleagues. Thank you, and I'll be glad to take any questions. Yes.
Your yields are quite a bit less on that, but you have to run, I guess, an economic analysis. Are you planning to do that because of the reduced inputs? Kind of balance that off. Is that something you plan to do?
Yeah, we didn't do that for my thesis, but we have looked at the numbers roughly. Definitely the way you're going to convince growers to use it is you're going to have a little bit lower yields, but the amount of money that you are not spending on the staking, tying, and not manually harvesting three times is how we intend to get them. We haven't conducted the economic analysis, but it's definitely something that needs to be done in order to convince the growers.
Let me follow up. Do you have some idea approximately what the cost would be that would be reduced? You know, it's 14,000 you said per acre was an average cost. Would that be 4,000 or 6,000?
Yeah, if we reduced by the 55% that staking, tying, printing, and manually harvesting could do, we did those calculations and we would still need to increase our yields quite a bit to compete with the staked upright tomatoes. If we are harvesting one time manually, because you're still doing a manual harvesting, once you go to mechanical harvesting, it was a little bit harder to extrapolate because we still don't have the machine ready for it, so we don't know what would be that cost. So we still don't have quite the numbers. We're not quite there yet. Yeah, the question was what was this spacing compared with the regular spacing that the staked upright tomatoes use. Growers may use anywhere from 18 to 24, 28 inches in Florida, and we picked 24. So it can be quite similar depending what grower you were working with. yeah, that was part of my thesis, trying a higher plant population to see if we could increase the yields.
Well, you haven't included
yet. It did not increase yields.
One other real quick question. I noticed in your photographs that people were really bending over low to get those tomatoes. Is there any resistance from pickers because the tomatoes are probably lower on the vine than they are on the state tomato?
Oh, yeah, they're definitely a lot lower, as you saw in the picture. The idea is that they're mechanically harvested, so that should not be an issue because you're harvesting by machine. Yes, I know. And not too bad for me. if your final goal is mechanical harvest, that would not be an issue. But definitely in the beginning, until the growers have the machines, that could be an issue with the pickers. It wasn't for my trial. It's a small trial, and they're trying to help us. But definitely commercially could be a problem in the long run if you don't have the machines yet. Thank you.
Thank you.